Good. Let's learn. It's such a schus to be able to learn a piece of Kedushas Levi together. I wish we'd have had this in yeshiva.
Me too.
Yeah. Could have helped us out a lot. Okay. It's never too late. It's not too late. So we'll do what we've been doing recently. What we'll try is to learn some Torah from the Rebbe, from the Baditshever. We'll learn some Torah from Kedushas Levi, and then I'll tell you a beautiful story that many of you know. The Maitzim from Baditshever are very, very famous because everybody loves to tell them. It's a school to tell them. So most of the stories you know, but the Chazor is in the context. Let me close. The Chazar is in the context of the Torah, and it's not so simple, really. The Torah is, you know, we have to try to figure out which ma'aseh we need for that Torah. So that's a hard avodah to try to work these things out. And as I said, we don't have a biography of the Baditshever. Other tzaddikim, we have more laid out the life story. At least what was nigla, what was revealed. But the Baditshever was a sight, he was a secret. And as I always tell you, a real secret is even after you say it, it's still a secret. That's what a real secret is. So the Baditshever was a secret. With all the stories that we have, he was a secret, he was a mystery. Vayetze Yitzhak Lasuach Basada. Nunhei, the two sides. This is a page Nunhei. If you have within the kudus, if you don't have within the kudus, you'll see where it starts. It's like halfway through the halfway, a little bit towards the end of the parish. You found it. Really, everybody should try to own a kedushas levi. It's a good investment. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. So Yitzchak Avinu went to converse in the field. Of course, from here Chazal tell us that he was davening and it was mincha and so on. He established mincha. We'll talk about mincha maybe a little bit later. If we'll have time, we'll get to a few other. These are smaller Torahs, so we'll be able to get to the one about mincha, hopefully, in the second part of tonight. Of course, the great question is, what was Yitzchak Avinu doing there? Lasuach Basada, he went to speak in the field. This, of course, would be an important source for Bechlal, the avodah of his bodedus, of one going and spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, and so on. But the Baditshever reveals here a very, very deep inyan of Avodas Hashem. HaKlal. The klal, the principle, the great rule in Avodas Hashem, and in life we see that hachnor mevi atzvus, that in general submissiveness to give in, hachnor submissiveness mevi atzvus. In general, in life, being a submissive person causes sadness. Why? She'ein b'yodo la'asais kirtzono. What happens when the person is in this state of submissiveness? It means you want to do something, but there's somebody that's in charge. There's somebody that's more chashuv, whether it's your employer, or your wife, or your husband, whatever it is. But there's somebody there that's in the way if you're doing what you'd really like to do. So this conflict between what you want and having to give up what you want for the will of the other, so the Rebbe says, this causes atzvus. This brings sadness into a person's life. This causes atzvus. Haklal, hachnor mevi atzvus. Submissiveness means that you're giving up your view, you're giving up your opinion, you're giving up your will, you're giving up your desire. And in general, in life, that makes a person upset, causes sadness. Shein biyodo la'asais kirtsoine kechevtsoi. You hear what he's explaining? Because you don't have the ability to carry out your own personal will. You don't have the ability to do what you want. Kirtsoine kechevtsoi, you can't. Machmas hahachno. That because of you having to submit or be submissive to somebody who's the balabas, somebody who's in charge or in control, you feel frustrated and upset and angry. And from this problem, therapists are making a lot of money. This is a problem that exists between children and parents all the time. A child has a certain rotzen, a child has a certain chayfetz, the kid thinks he knows 100% what's right for him, the kid is certain that this is what's right for him, and the parent says, absolutely not, this is not what you're going to do, this is not who you're going to be, whatever, and the child understands that. At least they used to understand that if they're not going to be machnir themselves, that if they're not going to submit to this tyrant, who they consider a tyrant, then there's going to be tzaris. So the decision is made: either I rebel, or I submit. And that submission causes tzar and agmas nefesh. It causes tzar. It causes anguish and sadness. You would want to do something, but because of the other you can't. And you recognize, just like a child recognizes that in the meantime I better behave, and I'm not going to be able to do this because, you know, where am I going to sleep tonight? What am I, you know, what's going to be with breakfast and so on? So he's machni himself. He says, yes, yes, your majesty, yes, yes. But inside, there's sadness, there's anger, and so on. And it's like that with friends and in relationships, that's how it goes. Ach, kisha adam oivedes habayi right now. What happens in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch? What happens in our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlalom? Well, the whole Indian of being an Eved Hashem is exactly that. Avdus means, hachna. Being an Eved Hashem means that you feel like doing something, he's telling you not to do it. Or he's telling you to do something you'd rather not do. Or he's telling you to do something that you feel is irrelevant to your life or inconsistent with what you would rather do. You have a person, let's say, that has terrific musical talent and wants to be on Broadway. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, Broadway, you know, it's not such a good thing for Shabbos and Sneeze. There are problems. And here, you know, when a person's creative and has a lot of talent, it's not so pushy. You know, most of us are just regular people, not so talented, so if someone tells you not to sing, okay, so you daven somewhere else. You know, you leave the shul, you daven somewhere else. But if you have a koyach to be somebody on Broadway, and I know people like this, especially you have some women that have unbelievable talent, and for a woman to sing, you know, what's where and what and who, and it's achna, it's gewaldige achna. So what happens with this feeling when you want something and the Rebbeinu Shlom says no? Or he's telling you do this, and inside of yourself you'd rather not. So if we follow the pattern of human relationships, that would cause anger and it would cause sadness. When I can't do what I would like to do. Yeah? So the Rebbe says no. Ach, kisha odom oived es habari baruchu. When a person is oived habari baruchu, when a person serves the Creator, umachnies atzum lifnei habari baruchu, and he makes himself submissive before Hashem, in other words, he gives in to Hashem's will. So the Rebbe says, not only does he not cause him sadness or depression, but just the opposite. He said, "Oz hu dovuk atzmai bimkor hasimcha." Just the opposite. You become attached to the source of all joy. And oz mimela shayra lov sasna v'simcha. And then a spirit of joy, of happiness, descends upon the individual. Let's try to understand just for 2 or 3 minutes what he's saying here, the Kedushas Levi, and then we'll see what does this have to do with Yitzchak going out into the field. We'll see that in a minute. We've spoken about this many times, and really also Slichas Night, this is what I was trying to convey, that we're raised in a world where we're being told all of the time that in order for you to have a refuah, Yeshua, in order for you to be matzliach, to be successful, so we're told all the time that the way to be matzliach and the way to have a Yeshua and a refuah is by focusing on yourself and on focusing on your issues, on your problems. What the Torah is, what the Rebbe is saying here is, and we have to understand this, and this is discussed at length in the Chabad Svarim, more than the other Sefer Chassidus in the Chabad Svarim, but in all the Svarim, but particularly in Chabad Svarim. Remember that Baal Tanya, besides that they were Mishpach, the Mechutanim, that the Baal Tanya and the Rebbe of Levi Yisrael Peditshva were the dearest and closest friends. I mean, the Kedushas Levi was older than the Tanya, and they were both drawing from the same well of Mezitcha Magid, and from the Baal Shem Tov, but particularly from the Mezitcha Magid. So, what the tzaddik, what the Bedichim explain, the tzaddik and Mechalal explain, is that Davke, in this world, the greatest source of sadness, of atzvus, and the greatest source of despair is a preoccupation with oneself. A preoccupation with oneself means all of the disappointments that take place in the person's life. I should have done this. I was supposed to be that. I could have had this. He took this from me. She did this to me, and so on. All of this that revolves perpetually around the ani, the I. When a person, especially when a person is going through a difficult time, the nature of a human being, especially when he's going through a difficult time, is to be entirely focused on his problems, to be entirely focused on himself. And as a result of that, what often happens is that the problems begin to dominate his life, take over his life, and he can't see any good, any tachlis, any purpose, any point of light, any joy. Because since his life talk is not going so well, he lost his job. Whatever, God forbid, someone's not well, or someone that he loves passed away. Whatever it is, Hashem should protect all of us. But something is wrong. So to the degree that he is completely self-possessed, and he's not able to see beyond the I, the self, to that degree will that tsar, that problem, that anguish, dominate his entire life, ad kedekach, to the point that he simply can't see any good anywhere, in anybody, in anything. And in this context, I always mention that there was a maisa with the Baal HaTanya. There's a bit of an arichas, but the story really, the ikur, what we need for now, takes 30 seconds. There was a chosid that came to the Alter Rebbe with, you know, describing, you know, whatever tzaros he had. He had certain tzaros, and he was talking about how he didn't have money for this, and he couldn't afford that, and as a result of all of this, how his life was filled with disappointment, and so on. So the Baal Tanya sat and listened to him describe all of these things for a long time. And the Tanya said to him this. After the man, he let the man speak, the Tanya said, "You've spent the last hour describing what you need. You didn't mention once what you're needed for." Think for a second what that means. It's a simple sentence. And how we fall into that. You've been screaming, crying, and correcting about what you need, and your needs are not being met. Needs are not always met. They're usually not met. If they are, you begin to get nervous. Something's wrong. So needs are not usually... So you've been talking, the time you said you're talking all the time about what you need, the I. But not what you're needed for. Mm. What you're needed for means once the person realizes that the world doesn't revolve around him, and that he was put into this world not to be served, but to serve, and to give, and to do, to be an Oved Hashem, to serve the master of the world, which includes giving and taking care and helping, all the good things. When a person is freed from that preoccupation with the self, so not only does that hachna, there's the submissiveness to the other, to Hashem is Baruch. Not only does that submissiveness not cause sadness, but it has the opposite effect. It frees you from the smallness and the pettiness and the misery of a life that's not being fulfilled with what the individual needs or wants. Besides, we all understand that the greater the person thinks he is, the more he thinks he deserves. And it's always a pella how all of us, most of us, we like things to be wanted, we expect things to go very, very well. And if something doesn't work out, we're unbelievably shocked and disappointed and hurt and so on. And the reason for that is that I think there's an expression in America, something like, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? So in Avodas Hashem, or in Midas, it means the greater that a person thinks he is, the more he's focused on I, the more he thinks he deserves, and therefore he's always filled with tainus because he is never getting what he deserves. He's the simple Jews, humble and simple Jews, are not griping and krechzing because they don't think it's coming to them. They don't think they deserve it. And if something good happens, it's gewaldig. And if it doesn't happen, who says I'm supposed to get this? Where does it say that I'm supposed to have all these things? So, even though what the Kedusha Levi is saying is that even though it's true that it's hard, this inyan of hachna, of being submissive, when it comes to a boss, let's say when it comes to an employer, so you have a certain ruts, when it comes to a friend, you want something to be done. Let's say even in a shul, you have a certain idea. You want something to be done. And there's a guy that's more powerful than you that he doesn't agree. And he's able to work it through that he gets his will. And you're upset because you had to be machnia yourself. You know, you had to say, you know, basically, yes sir, as you say, sir. And you have to be machnia yourself, you have to be submissive, and you walk away from that feeling that you didn't get what you wanted. And that causes sadness, and causes anger. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, this midah of hachna, of submissiveness, that the Ditchev is saying, not only does it not cause the person to become sad or depressed, but adrabah, it could be the source of greatest joy. It could be the biggest source of simcha in your life. It could lift you up out of that smallness, out of the focus on the I that causes you all of your pain and all of your tzar. Once a person submits and says, listen, Baruch Shalom, I'll tell you the truth. I really would like to sing on Broadway. I really would. I mean, I'm not talking about myself. Everybody knows that. It's not one of my aspirations. But the person said, I really would like to sing a Broadway. And you have someone, this Baal Shuva, that I know she was training her whole life. Her mother started off when she was like 3 years old. But I don't mean an hour a day. I mean, all day. And training for this thing to get to whatever, to Hollywood, to Broadway. And I really want to do that. And I feel that I have the kishronus, I have the talent to do it. And I see that I'm more talented than all these people. And the Baruch Shalom says, can't do that. So, if a person believes b'emunah shleima that the Infinite One, is worth serving. See, we don't serve, God forbid, another human being, and therefore, it's in certain ways, it's much harder to be submissive to the person, right? Because who are you? Who are you? Why should I submit to you? I mentioned to one of the chaverim yesterday. I mentioned we were together, and I said that I told him there was a certain very, very big rav, a very sharp rav. We don't know who it is because they didn't say no. But it says a very big Talmud Chacham who never met the Baal Shem Tov, but was a big misnagid to the Baal Shem Tov. He was against the Baal Shem Tov. So one day a poor person came to this Rav's house, and the Rav, you know, the Rav wouldn't even look up from the Gemara for like a half hour. He made the poor person stand in front of him, and the Rav was learning. And then finally the Rav looked up and said he saw this poor person. He said to the poor person, "Who are you?" So the poor man said the pasuk from the last parasha was Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, which means I'm dust and ashes. Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. And then the poor man asked the Rav, "And who are you?" So the Rav said, "Chbenoch, I'm also Ofer Ve'efer. I'm also dust and ashes." So the poor man said, "So if I'm dust and ashes and you're dust and ashes, so why do we have to have a machlokes? So why do we have to fight? We're both dust and ashes. We might as well be friends." That, of course, was the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov came to make shalom. Between that, by the way, if you think of that, when you have a problem with somebody, it could help a lot.
That's
it. That's not enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's it. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but that's what I saw in the cipher. That's good. It's, I don't know if it became. It sounds like that took a wall away, but it didn't go on after that. But with a person, you see, with another person, like the, you know, there was another mice that there was there were these two rebbes. One was a real rebbe, the other one was like a rebbele. You understand? They were sitting together, and I don't know what happened, but one was saying, "I'm nothing. I'm gunish. I'm gunish." So the other one said to him, "Who do you think you are saying you're nothing? Yeah, what are you making yourself such a knacker to say that you're nothing? I'm talking nothing." Yeah, who are you to say that you're nothing? These kind of disagreements, of course, all mean that he's not nothing, he's not nothing. The point being that since we don't serve human beings, it's very hard. The second that somebody becomes your boss, you could have somebody that you like very much, but if you walk in the next day, "Hey, guess what? They made me in charge of you." Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, I'm now in charge of your life. I write out your check. I decide, you know, isn't that great? Like, we know each other 40 years, and it's so wonderful that now you're in my hands. And I'm in charge of you. So he thinks that you'd be so happy because now he has a good friend of his that's going to make these decisions, going to make up a salary, going to send them on different jobs. The second that he says that I'm your boss, this is already an ice friendship. You know that. I mean, it lingers for a little bit, but then it doesn't go. Because I'm going to be machmir myself to you. I'm going to submit to you. You don't know more than me. So why should I submit to you? But by Avodas Hashem, when a person believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and Kol Yochel, and he knows, and he put you into this world to serve him. So when that decision has to be made with that talented young lady to go to Broadway, not to go to Broadway, when that decision has to be made, even though of course it's Mesiras Nefesh, it's unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, once the decision is made, it can not only if the person is strong in her amunah, not only will it not cause sadness or depression, not only will she not be jealous of seeing, you know, some lady's name up in lights, knowing that I could have been in this place, you know, I could have had my name up on the thing, on the marquee. Not only that, but for a kid, just the opposite. The Rebbe says, the person becomes David b'mkoras simcha. You're liberated. You let go of the I. You let go of the, and that's the very same I that your whole life is making you meshuggah. Me, me, me. It's got to be the way that I want, and I this, and I expect, and I can, and I know, and I am. All of that. He says, "Also, David b'atzav b'mkoras simcha, as mimela shayrel of sasna b'simcha." And then. Even if a person has, God forbid, some problem in his life, that doesn't mean that the whole world is terrible. It means that it didn't work out for me, but it doesn't mean that the whole world is like messed up. Nobody's good. Everything's bad. You have people like that, that when something's not going well for them, it means that by everybody it's no good. So the Bedichtz was saying, for kid. Because once you let go of that, so then, even though you're having a difficulty, then it doesn't dominate your life. Tikkur is that it's good by other. It's good by my friend. It's good by him. So it's not good by me. So it doesn't have to be good by me. It's good by somebody else. Tikkur is, and you, if you think about it, that takes away all jealousy. Takes away all jealousy. Because what point is there in being jealous? Just the opposite. You're happy that he has. So you don't have it. That's not negated to you. He has it. You don't have. What does it mean? What's that? Why should that cause you to be upset if he has and you don't have? So all of that comes, that simchas achaim, the joy in life, can come from hachnah to Hashem. Even though hachnah itself, submissiveness itself in this world, is generally a very negative term. And if this Torah would be translated and given over to a secular person, it would sound that the person would tear it to pieces. Because hachnah in this world, hachnah, submissiveness, is a dirty word. It's a dirty word. It means like the next word after that is abuse. So, you know, God, you know, people that have this thing, well, if you submit to the will of your spouse, you're an abused husband or abused wife. If you submit to the will of your parent, you're an abused child. And we're calling in, like, you know, the whole social services department already. You don't think that's going to, maybe it already happened. You don't think it's going to happen? It's going to happen that a kid says one thing, the father says not. Not even if he lifted a hand. Soon they're going to start calling in the police. Because the parent tells the kid to go to bed, 7 years old, Geir Schlufen. Knock on the door. We have a warrant for your arrest. You told your uncle to go to sleep. Is that true? I'm his parent. I thought I'd come this way, please. The handcuffs. Take him away. It's going to happen.
Book him.
You don't think it's going to happen? It's not going to start with 7-year-olds. It's going to start like with 17. That a mother and a father can't tell the kid, you know, what to do. That already, there's already stuff like that. I heard some things like this. This is already abuse. we're the way that we were raised, I mean from Har Sinai and on, the way that we were raised, our people, was that hachna, submissiveness, in its core, in its essence, is a holy trait. But like everything that's holy, it can be used in a very destructive way. And there are relationships that are destructive. And when you have a domineering, abusive relationship, then to be submissive can bring destruction. But with the Rebbeinu Shalom, it can never, ever, ever be destructive. It can only give life. Now how does it, yeah? Not to show.
There are remnants, we say that if it's not Moshe, it's not Moshe. Why?
Well,
the Eved Neman
for us about it. Right.
So here it is, to be an Eved is the greatest.
Exactly, here, Matisseos, we say in davening all the time. Yismach Moshe b'man neschelkoi, ki Eved Neman k'rosaloi. So Matisseos brought a very, very, very perfect riot. Yismach Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu rejoices in his portion. And what's the source of Moshe Rabbeinu's joy? Ki Eved Neman k'rosaloi, he's a faithful servant. He's a faithful servant. Could you imagine nowadays, if you go over to a woman and you say, you're married, you, how long you married? I'm married for 25, 30 years, whatever. And how's your what's your marriage like? She says, well, you know, I try to be a good wife. I try to have a nice home for my husband, for my children. And how do you see us, what's your role as a wife? My role as a wife is to serve my family's needs. I'm even afraid to say that just in learning, right? I'm afraid to even say the sentence. So to serve, to submit to the needs of my mishpacha, book him. Right? Take him away. That's it. He's mishigit. She's mishigit. This is an abusive relationship. And she tells you, but what if she would say, but you don't understand. I'm happy. Yismach. So now when you look in all the new literature, when you look in all the new lies that are being mass produced, in all the new literature, what they're saying is, no, those people could not be happy and they were never happy. It's the same, like my Bobby wasn't happy. My father told me that she looked like she was happy. My mother's Olga Zonzain seems to be the Baruch Hashem. She's happy. She's a simcha all the years, and she has plenty of, to remember that's not so happy. Well, she's happy, and old fashioned as they come. Why? Because she understands, she accepted that to be an eved neman, to be a faithful servant, is not a shameful thing. When there's respect, mutual respect and love. I'm not talking, God forbid, when there's not, then you're a shmata. I'm not talking about being a shmata. You understand, right? I'm not talking about being a shmata. But when there's mutual love, I'll get you in a second. When there's mutual love and there's respect, so then not only is it not demeaning, but fakir. It brings tremendous simcha and joy to a person's life. And the same thing for the husband to feel that, well, he's an eved to his wife, he's an eved to the children, but I don't mean in a negative way. Yismach ki eved nemakaros. Avdus itself brings tremendous simcha and joy when there's belief in the other. Just like when you believe in Hashem, being an eved Hashem is unbelievable. When you believe in your husband, when you believe in your wife, then the avdus is something which gives tremendous fulfillment and joy and meaning to your life. If you don't believe in the other, then it's like with your boss. Who made you the bala boss? Who said you're better than me? Why should I do you? You're telling me it's night. I'll say it's day. Just you do everything you can to sabotage whatever the guy says. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So
what's your name? Israel.
Israel.
Okay. So when do you
compromise? Like every relationship is compromise.
Sure.
So when do you compromise? When do you decide to compromise?
It's a very, very big chachma. You're right. It's a very big chachma to know what you can expect from another person, what you should expect, not to demand. If you're making demands of a wife, it's really a single. Okay. No, I just want to make sure. So if you're making demands of a wife, or if you're making demands of your kids, so then already, it's not so good. It's not so good. When two people live in a life where there's koach havitur, which means compromising, giving in. So then there is that love, there's that respect, and there isn't this feeling of being a shmata, being taken advantage of. So what we're talking about now is this, I'm assuming, again, that there is koach havitur, just like the Baruch Shalom works with us. Even though the Gemara says kol ayimak kadosh baruch hu v'atrin yivat l'chayv, we're not allowed to say the Baruch Shalom makes deals. Afal pichein, nevertheless, we know that Hashem is baruch, is marach av. He's patient with us. And if we batch up, he says, let's try again tomorrow, right? The Baruch Shalom works with us. And we can love him. And we can love him. And therefore, and because of all that he's done for us, that's why we begin Shemoneh Esrei by thanking him for all the chesedim, for being alive, for having what we have. And it's only because of that we're able to serve him. But once you feel, you're right, Surely, once you feel that you're dealing with an uncompromising situation, and there are many husbands and wives that feel that they're locked in this problem. Once it's uncompromising and rigid and harsh, so then you don't want to serve. You see, my mother's al gazon zayin. There's nothing that makes her happier than to bring supper to my father. Again, now, if there's a therapist that would be hearing this, a secularist, I would say, well, Mrs. Weinberger is abused. And we go and talk to my mother, that you're married, whatever it is, I don't want to say how many years, a long time, you should speak up. And my mother would say, I love doing this. No, you've been brainwashed over the years because it can't be that a woman would love such a thing, a bizyonis, to the man's sister. Who is he, a king? And you bring him like this and he doesn't lift a finger. You bring him his food. Well, so that makes me happy. It's such a rahmah. They'd write reports, they write papers, PhDs, dissertations about this poor lady that her mind has been twisted by a domineering person. And if you know my father, domineering. my father says, excuse me, to an earthworm. Domineering. There's a mahalach. It's like this. The same way my father would never have my mother lift something or put in a light bulb. There's a certain mahalach. And this is what he saw by his father and by his mother. And this is what my mother saw by the parents. And they go, and you know what? The simcha. When my father puts in the light bulb, he's not angry. How come she doesn't help with the light bulbs? And when my mother takes out the food from the refrigerator, she doesn't have a tine. How come he doesn't go to the refrigerator? And if my mother's not home, my sister goes over because my father won't eat. I'm not exaggerating. But my father would just sit there. And it's happened, and then one of us go over. My wife and my sister go over, and he doesn't say a word. It could be a few hours later. He's just sitting there learning or reading. And then he doesn't ask, like, what's going on? And then it's just, you know, my mother got delayed. Someplace happened. Something, she was on a trip. Somewhere she had to go to see her sister. It was on ice. And my father just sat there. We you know, until one of us got over there. And my father didn't say anything. He says, okay, mommy's all right. Mommy called. Okay, good. And if not, he would go to bed and he would just go to the next day. But he wouldn't open the refrigerator. Not a drink. It's not part of is it abusive? It's what we were talking about this morning a little bit. It's this is what we do. This is what's right. This is how we live. All of the agmas nefesh, the sadness, the depression, despair is, he should be taking his own food out. She should be changing the light bulb. Tightness, back and forth. Ugh, it's no good. My role. This. Who says this is my role? Why do I have to do this? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't she? Why doesn't somebody else do it for both of us? How come my mother's not here, but my father's not here? These are all the tightness. Submissiveness in the Torah, hachna, is not a dirty word. Hachna is a very holy word. But Saul is right. Compromise. Love, understanding. If it's just lopsided, it's the same thing with the Bnei Shalom. If it would just be lopsided, if he would say, do this, do that. And when a Jew feels that way, that all the Bnei Shalom says is do this, do that, and he doesn't feel that the Bnei Shalom gives him something, that's why you make a bracha. If you really think when you make a bracha, how wonderful the Bnei Shalom gave me this, that the Bnei Shalom gave me this to eat. And who am I? I don't deserve this. I'm more worthy than some poor person that's on the street. So Baruch Hashem gave me this food to eat. And you say, Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Shachem, Lidval. It's Givaldic. So you feel that the Baruch Hashem gives to you. And then you want to give to him. You want to do for each other. The Baruch Hashem's Machmi himself, Kivyachol, to us. When he came down on Har Sinai, he's Machmi himself to us. And that's all loving relationships. It's not a one-way street. It has to go both ways. 100%. And how does the Rebbe learn, how does the Kedushas Levi learn this in the Pasuk? Look how beautiful. It's hinted at in the Pasuk. The Zel Merum is the Pasuk. Of course, it's a hint in the Pasuk. It's not the Pshat in the Pasuk, but it's hinted. And a hint is very important. The Zel Merum is the Pasuk. Vayetze Yitzhak Lasuach Basot. So you're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? Yitzchak went to speak in the field, right? So we know he was davening. And it's interesting, that's what happened then the Shidduch was made, right? That's when Rivki Imenu. That's when Rivki Imenu came. So Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basada. As Yitzchak went to daven, went to speak in the field. What's the lema? Eimasa Yetze Simcha. Vayetze Yitzchak means, we spoke about it a little bit on Shabbos, Chok, Yitzchak's name means what? Laughter, it means joy. So Vayetze Yitzchak means, Vayetze Yitzchak means, how is it possible for the joy to emerge in your life, for the tzchok, for the laughter and happiness to be yotzei, to come out in your life, for the Vayetze Yitzchak, that's what we're all looking for, we want it to be a Vayetze Yitzchak, that we should be able to experience joy in our lives. How does one bring that about, that Vayetze Yitzchak? It says, Ki Yitzchak Loshen Simcha. Because Yitzchak means joy, tzchok. So the answer is, he says, that lasuach, you know that the sin and the shin are interchangeable. That means whenever you have the sin and the shin, Chazal have taught us this, that you could switch around the dot and you could see a hint in the word by switching around the shin to the sin and the sin to the shin. So, lasuach, which means to converse, is the same letters as the word Lashuach. And Lashuach means Leshtachavos, comes from the word Lashuach. It means what? Hachna. It means to submit. To give in. It means to give in. You hear now what a beautiful rem is? Because bowing down means giving in. That's what it means. Lashuach means Hachna. Basod in the field. Again, so Vayetze Yitzchok, in order for Tzchok to come into a person, to come out, in order for Tzchok, laughter and joy to emerge in your life, the way of accomplishing that is the opposite of what you would think. Because we think that in order to have Simcha, I have to be in control. That's what everybody says. You want to have joy? Be in control. Be in control. She says, Loshon, it says, how does that come out? Vayetze Yitzchok, that comes out by Loshon Hachno, by Shuach is Loshon Hachno, Basod, in the field. Now, what's the field? Now, the Bidishva doesn't talk about this here. In general, the Bidishva, unlike, let's say, the Baal Tanya, the Bidishva very rarely enters into Kabbalistic discussions. That wasn't his way. Either you know what it's about, or you don't know what it's about. But it wasn't his way to discuss Kabbalah and Yanim. I mean, from time to time. But he expected the one who was learning here to be somewhat conversant in these matters. So he says that Basodah Ratzalaimik, he saw the Mechun Lakdusha. In the Zohar Kaddish, the field means holiness. Sometimes you might notice, if you say the Askinu Sadasa, not so you're thinking about that, the Askinu Sadasa Shabbos, you see something that's called Chakatapuchen Kadishin, the holy orchard of apples, right? There's a holy field of apples. Some years ago I spoke about that a little bit, but that on our level what that means, they mean of the field or the orchard of apples. But for now, without going into this, because it's not really, we don't have to go into this right now, in the Zohar Kaddish, the field means holiness. So he says that Basod Rashlamik, he saw the Mechun Lakdusha, Uchshehachnahu Befnei HaKedusha, when a person is submitting not to a flesh and blood, not to some Hollywood idol or to some phony ideology that comes from some human being, but when a person bows down and submits to what? In the field, which means in the field of holiness, in the world of holiness, to Hashem is Baruch. When you are machnir yourself in the presence of the master of the world to serve him, from that will come forth joy. It's an unbelievable Torah. It's an unbelievable Torah. Od Yavur. Another explanation. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasua Pasal Lefnayis Erev. So it says in Torah that Yitzchak Avinu went out as the evening was falling, as the night was approaching. Mincha time. Yevur almayim chachmein is chonim levrocha rei shalei kemidas hakadosh baruch hu midas basar v'dam midas basar v'dam anatzchnei sofu v'otzei. The Gemara says, look how different Hashem is from people, and this is connected to the Torah we just learned. Look how different Hashem is. Midas basar v'dam, the way of a human being is manatzchnei sofu, when a human being feels that he was defeated, when he's defeated, v'hu otzei, the Gemara says, then he's upset, he's sad. It's the same thing. When he wanted it, and his guidance didn't go, he wanted one thing, and he was a menutzach. It could be a game of checkers. But if he's defeated, he's upset. But midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu menatzach naisai, the Gemara says, v'hu sameach. When the Baruch Shalom is defeated, he rejoices. Now, how do you do that? What does that mean? And the Gemara learns that after the pasuk Lamnatseach Mizmel David, Lamnatseach b'mineginus, and Lamnatseach Zamru Lashem and Zamru Maskil. All those pesukim that say Lamnatseach, which literally means in Tehillim to the one who's directing the orchestra, the choir, the Menatseach. It's very much connected to music, this whole thing. But the Gemara learns out that praise the one who, when he is defeated, the word lenatzeach also means to defeat. Give praise to the one who, when he's defeated, Hashem, when you defeat him, he rejoices. Like the Gemara above Metzia, the Gemara where where the Tana said, you know, it's a famous Gemara, Lo B'Shamayim Hi, that Hashem said the halach is this way, and the tzaddik said that, excuse me, in all due respect, Hashem, we go by the majority, we don't go by what they say in heaven. And then afterwards they asked the other tzaddik, what did Hashem say at that time? So what happened when Hashem heard such a chutzpah that he said, we don't passing like you, we passing like the Beis Din here in this world? So it said that Hashem nodded his head and he smiled and he said, Nitzchuni b'nai, Nitzchuni. That Hashem was laughing. He said, ah, my children have defeated me. Terrific. My children have defeated me. A parent wants to be defeated by a child. What that means is, in a good way, Lam Netzer. So he explains, Minatzchon asav hu sameach. In our lives, in a very simple level, in a very simple way, means that when things are not going your way, and there is this inclination that you have to become defeated by that event and to fall into sadness, and you stop and you say, no, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to move ahead with my life. So Hashem laughs and he says, Nitzchuni b'nai, you won. Hashem says, you won. In other words, I sent you something as a test, as a difficulty, and it could have crushed you, and you overcame that. So Hashem says, Lam Netzayach, well, you are the Baal Nitzachon. So the Rebbe explains. I'll do this quickly. I want to tell you Meister. So listen carefully. You all know the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a decree, and the Tzaddik has the power to nullify the decree. Right? The Tzaddik can nullify the decree. That's what it means. And Hashem is happy. When the Tzaddikim who nullify a decree, the Baruch Shalom is happy. When the Baruch Shalom does kivyochel what the Baruch Shalom wants to do, so then the Baruch Shalom is by himself. He's doing what he wants. But when the Baruch Shalom runs the world in such a way where he gives the tzaddik, where the tzaddik has the ability to what? To nullify that decree. So then Hashem is night to himself. Hashem inclines himself to the will of the tzaddik. That's the deeper meaning of the divine presence being in this world, meaning that Hashem on some level has given himself in this world, not in his essence, but the Shechina has given herself over in such a way that the tzaddikim have the power to defeat, to control. That's the meaning of what? That Hashem descended upon Har Sinai, claiming that Hashem descended into this world for the purpose of submitting herself to the will of the righteous. And now it is Hashem, not only is Hashem not upset about that, but he has tremendous nachas. That's gewaldi. The tzaddikim, the yidna davening, and the yidna are defeating, so to speak, defeating what he, that's what that gives Hashem the biggest nachas. And that's hinted at in the pasuk. Yitzchak Avinu went out to the field to speak in the field. Yitzchak is lashon simcha. Yitzchak again, it means joy. What's the greatest joy for Hashem? What brings Hashem the greatest joy? Shuach again means what? The other side of the page. Lashon yirid lamata. Shuach means to bow down. It means to go down. It means to submit. Basoda, what's the name of Litzana Tzaddikim and the Kareim Soda, Chakel, etc. The Tzaddikim are called the guardians of the field, those who watch Hashem's field. So let's put it together. Vayetze Yitzchak, we're turning things around. What gives the Baruch Shalom laughter and joy? What makes Hashem laugh and what makes Hashem's Baruch rejoice is what? Is Lasuach Basoda, when he has to bow down Kivyachal to the will. When Hashem submits to the will of the one who's the guardian of the field, who's the tzaddik. Shalom l'tzana tzaddikim. The rotzen of the tzaddikim. The will of the tzaddik. Lifnois erev. As the evening was approaching, as it was coming. Now here, this teaching is from his Rebbe Mezitcher Magid. Because we see this, and he brings from the Rebbe Abber that this, all the tzaddikim who were bothered, Mr. Shemagid, bring this teaching. Lifnos Erev, for those of you who are more familiar with Lashon HaKodesh, you know that the word lifnos can mean as the evening was falling. Lifnos also means to push something away. Like lifnos as a cheder, which means clearing out the room. Right? That's also connected to the word pina and so on. Clearing away. Lifnos Erev, what does the tzaddik do? An Erev means darkness. Erev means confusion. It means that tzaddik, Hashem rejoices when the tzaddik, lifnos Erev, when the tzaddik with his davening pushes away the darkness. Hashem was going to bring darkness, and the tzaddik is lifnais erev. The tzaddik removes, he clears out the darkness. It causes a cancellation of dinim, of judgment, of God forbid, of bad things. Because dinim, din is called erev, is a lifnais erev, to push away, to clear away the erev. He says, I heard from my Rebbe, the great Samagid, the Mezritcha Magid. I heard what? That this is the deeper meaning of what? Ki Adam, a human being. Listen carefully. This was the Bedishva Mamish. That when a person speaks with people, stop, he's talking. Good morning. How you doing? And in his simple words, he has holy thoughts. He is able to free, to lift up the sparks. And that gives Hashem tremendous joy. Where does the joy for Hashem come? Which means, when the tzaddik goes and speaks in the field, meaning, he goes and speaks about regular things, but his thoughts are always attached to the one above. I feel like Shemisiach Basadi, Shtami Shmuzin, in the field with Jews. The Dibur Magashmim is a lifnais erev, and what does that do? It drives away, you at least need to, it drives away the darkness and it lifts up the sparks of holiness from that field, from that place that until now was just a place, and now it becomes a place that's caught up in holiness. So the Maisa of the Bedichva, has brought down all the storm. I wanted to read it with you like I did last week, but we don't have time. So I'll tell you to be kitzer, because you already know the Maisa, most of you, so just be kitzer. One of the friends and teachers who was together with the Bedichva by Mezritcha Magid was the Rebbe of Shmelke. The Rebbe of Shmelke was Rebbe Shmelke from Nikolsburg. You know, him and his brother was the Afla, was Rebbe Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. The Rebbe of Shmelke and the Rebbe Pinchas Halevi were Ga'oinei Olam, tremendous Rabbonim in Moravia in Germany. And in a very mysterious way, in a very remarkable way, we're able to bring in Chassidus into those places. So the story that you all know, I'm sure that you heard of one form or the other, but the Maisa is that one time the Kedushas Levi, the Bedichva, came to Nikolsburg to see the Rebbe of Shmelke. And they didn't know who this Yid was. So, you know, we've spoken about this, that the Bedichva was not, should we say, was not like a calm person. It was always a storm, in a good way. So Bedichva walks into shul that morning, on a weekday morning, with two pairs of tefillin on, the same time Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, he went like that, with both pairs of tefillin, with a talus over the head. And in those days, they used to have in the back of the shul was the kitchen, and very often the Rebbetzin himself was preparing a tikkun, was preparing a little breakfast for the ones who were yoshim, for the chassidim, for the Jews that were there. She would prepare something to eat. So the Bedichva, it says the Bedichva went in with the talus over his head and the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. He goes into the kitchen. He starts to ask the Rebbetzin about how the cooking is going today. He starts to talk to her about it. She thought it was very strange. She also didn't know that this is the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Bedichva. She thought it was very strange. He looked like a tzaddik. And the towels over the head, and he's asking about the consistency of the food, and then he asked to have a little the spoon. Could he have a little bit? And he has a taste of this. He says, "This is gewaldig." He says, "It needs a little bit more." He was seasoning and like this and like that. These were German Jews, you understand, that were watching this. They went nuts. They went absolutely crazy. And what towels and tefillin, and then on top of that. Then davening is the davening, and there's some schlepper walks in like a beggar, and then the Bedichva leaves the kitchen, and he goes and starts talking to the schlepper like during davening, and over there they're very, very strict about this, and they already made up their mind that they want to throw him out. And now, after davening was over, the Rebbe of Shmelke turns around, he sees his friend, and he goes and he hugs him and kisses him, and they sit down to eat, and he sits him right next to him. So one of the Chassidim who was the most hot-headed, not Chassidim, they weren't Chassidim, one of the Jews that was there was very hot-headed, and he said, right in front of the Kedushas Levi, and he said to his Rebbe, Rebbe Shmelke, Rebbe, I have to tell you the truth. This person who you're giving such covet to, he sat next to you, He goes with Talis and Tefillin into the Rebbe's and starts talking to the whole morning about the soup and about the milk. The milk is not thick enough, and that this has to be like that, and to add this and that. And then he stopped during davening. He's going here, he's going there. So how are you? The person just posha couldn't be masig. How are you mechabed, Rebbe? When does that stop? How are you mechabed the person so much? How are you mechabed him so much? So the Kedushas Levi, the Rebbe of Shmelke, said to them, this is exactly what we learn now. He said that the Gemara tells us, Rav loisach sichas chulin miyamav. The Gemara says that Rav never spoke a sichas chulin chatter. He never chattered in his life. Stam, he never stam spoke. Rav Shmelke asked, what does that mean? That Rav never spoke a sichas chulin? Rav never spoke a sichas chulin? Any of the tanaim and amorim were chattering? So he says, no, the pshat is that what was different about Rav is that he would go have conversations with people. And they thought that it was chattering. Because he still was talking. But every single word when he said good morning, whatever he spoke about, every single thing was with the most amazing and deepest thoughts that he had. And he says and I think the B'dishra wasn't there anymore, the B'dishra left, but that's what was by Rav Levi Yitzchak. By the way, the end of the story, and I'm sorry, just one more minute, but the end of the story was that they found out at the end that there was a baby that was born that was dying because the mother didn't have enough milk. And the whole thing that B'dishra was saying to the Rebbetzin was, more milk, thicker milk, thicker milk. And they found out that the milk started coming in at that moment, then the mother was able to nurse. And then when he said about the table, when they poured, and then the Rebbe Shmelke said, if you don't believe me, try this. When the B'dichim comes back, bring him coffee. So B'dichim walked back in, and he sat down, and they brought him coffee, and they poured the milk into the coffee, and he wouldn't touch it. And he just sat there like that. He wouldn't touch it. So the Rebbe Shmelke said, first pour in the milk, and then pour in the coffee. The other way. Not coffee, milk, coffee. So they poured in the milk and the coffee, and the bitch says, oh, shkayach, shkayach. And he made a bracha, you know, b'dichav, and he drank it. And then he left. He says, what's with him? What is that? What's the difference? Coffee, milk, milk. So he says, because I know that we learned that when you drink coffee with milk, it's the kavana of mikveh, of being in the mikveh. So the milk goes before the kaveh, mikveh. Milk comes before kaveh. And that's why it's the kavanah of mikveh. And I know he wouldn't touch coffee before milk. It's got to be milk before the coffee. No, that's what the Rebbe is talking about. Yetzah Yitzchak l'suach basada. Lifnois there. We should be zayich, Mr. Shem, to live a little bit, to taste of the B'dichav's coffee.